Hello and welcome to Under the Abbey Stand. I'm your host. My name is Jordan Warland and it is episode 7 of the 2021-2022 season. What is the difference between episode 7 and 6? Well, we've got one extra point on the board, a lovely and dramatic point courtesy of a very, very late Adam May strike. We're going to discuss the good and the bad from yesterday's game at Crewe. We might also look back at a soggy Tuesday night defeat to a saggy Steve Evans Gillingham. As always, I've got a panel to help me to dissect everything. My first panellist absolutely loves an injury time equaliser for the Ewes. It's Mr. Tom Walker.
Evening. Yeah, good to be back again. And I do indeed. It was really fun.
I have to ask Tom, how is the shoulder?
Yeah, it got better on the train journey home.
It's a miracle, isn't it?
Should probably explain to everyone what happened.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but Adam May scored a very late equaliser, and in the ensuing celebrations, I may have picked up a small impact injury on my left shoulder, which, like I say, was numbed by several cans of lager on the train home.
As prescribed by the UTAS physio, they've had a look.
We had a chat walking out of the ground, and we decided as a group that was probably the best way to go. That's what we did, and thankfully it worked. So ready to go again.
Nothing like picking up an injury before international duty, am I right?
Absolutely.
Right, my second panelist today says that his favorite part of an away game is sleeping on the train on the way home. It's Mr. Julian Roberts.
Well, thanks for having me, George. The thing is, I had to take over from Tom yesterday on the sleeping on the train home duties because he was too busy tending to his shoulder. So I was delighted to fill in the spot yesterday and wake up at Euston a mere 20 seconds after falling asleep at Crewe.
Let's start with a quick fire question for you, Julian. We're 10 games into life in League One. Would you say you prefer League One home games or League One away games?
Oh, League One away is honestly this. They can't keep this up all season. There's no way I can hack it all season. Honestly,
it's weird, isn't it? Because we've got more points at home, but yeah, it seems to be the more epic moments have come away from home. I guess it's worth pointing out that our next 5 home games is a mere Ipswich Town, Sheffield Wednesday, AFC Wimbledon, Sunderland, and Wigan.
Jord, ask me that question after our last 5 away games. And if there's any sort of carnage like there was yesterday in those 5, I don't think you'll be seeing me on this podcast much more because I don't think I'll have much left in me.
Right, let's crack on and talk about Crewe away. I'll start with you, Julian. And before we talk about the game itself, I want to check in on how you were feeling pre-game. And by that, I don't mean the hangover from your big Friday. What I mean is we went into the game. I think everyone can agree that over the first 9 games, it's been a really positive start for Cambridge. But if you look at the last 2 games before Crewe in isolation, 1 point from both Fleetwood and Gillingham at home is a pretty poor return, and that's being polite. So I guess with that in mind, did you go to Crewe thinking if we lose, it could be quite damaging to that sort of, you know, start to the season?
Yeah, it's one of them where sort of a good start can very quickly turn into quite a poor start, right? And it only takes a few games. And this run was always going to have that sort of jeopardy to it, I think, because as I mentioned on the last pod that I was on, which would have been 2 weeks ago, that this after Portsmouth, this run of 4 games is sort of a real opportunity for points. And obviously, we'll come on to the Morecambe game separately, but having only taken 1 out of Fleetwood and Gillingham, there was something about yesterday that had that sort of air of we really should be trying to get 3 points here if we want to maintain this very positive start to the season, because if not, you could very much make the argument that actually it's not quite as good as it's felt over the past few weeks. So there was that sort of trepidation going into it, I think. Also, I mean, Crewe aren't a particularly good side, and I think that they must be frustrated by that, because the second half I thought we were much, much better than them personally yesterday. It's one of them where I think that there was a bit of pressure on them to get 3 points, and Bonner has that brilliant record that we've mentioned before of making his teams bounce back. And I think the stat that we actually mentioned after that Portsmouth game was actually wrong. I think it's two times that he's lost two games in a row, Harrogate and Stevenage and Mansfield and Oldham in December. So I'll correct that now. But it's still a brilliant record, right? And it's something that his teams have always done very, very, very well. This team
has bounced. He's not managed any other teams, mate.
Yeah, maybe his youth teams. I don't know. I haven't looked into the records. Go on, George.
No, I was just going to say, coming to Tom, like, similar question. Did you go into the game thinking this is a must not lose game? And then you watch just concede, twice in the first 30 minutes? And did you think we're on to sort of, a bit of a bad afternoon?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, probably up until the moment that your friend of mine, Wesley Houlihan, walks into the pitch, I think the overriding sort of feeling was quite a negative one, really. I guess there was the sense that having started the season well, as we've talked about, we were sort of in danger of throwing that away a little bit. I think at this stage of the season, a good start can very, very quickly become sort of quite a disappointing start. Well, maybe not disappointing, but certainly not nothing to shout about. And if we talk about sort of back-to-back defeats against Gillingham and Crewe, at the time, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but I didn't really feel like we made Gillingham work too hard for their win. And at the time that they were 2-0 up, Crewe certainly didn't have to work too hard for it. So that would have been really disappointing. But yeah, I mean, to take something out of the game, we talked again last week about, you can't turn your nose up at a point in League One, sort of no matter how it comes. And that was very much one of the ones where you're more thankful that we got it. I've got to say, I think there was a bit of discussion that we had sort of after the game about was it deserved or not. I felt for the way that we played, particularly in the last half an hour, sort of 40 minutes, we did deserve something out of the game. It was good to see an increased amount of chances being created, which is something that typically we've struggled with, not just so far in League One, but even, at times last season in League Two, we weren't creating loads of chances, but we obviously had someone who was getting on the end of everything. And obviously when you go up a level, you need to start creating a bit more quality going forward as well, which we did, which weren't always taken. But yeah, it was good to rescue something out of it. I mean, I don't know if I'd call any game in League One a must not lose game, because me and Julian talked quite a little bit about the sort of statistics of teams that have finished sort of around the mid-table mark and the amount of games that they're losing. But it felt like quite an important point, just for kind of a few of those reasons, really, in terms of how you view the start to the season kind of as a whole, and obviously the fact that it was Crewe, who I'm pretty confident will be competed against for survival.
I just wanted to pick up on something you mentioned there, Tom, which is I completely agree with you. I also think we were good for a point yesterday, but I think there will be some people listening to this who obviously, delighted to score a 94th minute equaliser. I don't think you ever wouldn't be, but there is a way that you can look at that game and consider it 2 points dropped. As you said, like, you talk about opportunities for, I'm not saying this is my opinion, but I think there will be people who might back that and go, Crewe aren't a particularly good side. And that second half performance was good, but there is a frustration that why were we ever in the position where we were 2-0 down against a side like that? And I think it's a legitimate argument to have, but because we're so early on in the season, for me, I think there's still a massive learning process to be had. And something I said after the Gillingham game was that game in isolation won't send us down, but not learning the lessons from it is something that might send us down. And even within that game, it just felt like that we just grew into it so well. So it's clear it can only be a positive thing, surely.
Well, there's two things that I wanted to talk about. And there are either end of the pitch. Let's start at sort of the top end of the pitch and the sort of the attacking play. Because you say it was 2 points drop, which is quite interesting. That's an interesting statement, given that we were 2-0 down and, out of the game, a game at half time. But
not me, George, but some people I think might make argument.
Some people might make that argument. Yeah. And do you think there was point, you could make the argument that it was 2 points drop, because as great as it was to get the two goals, if you look back at the game, we had plenty of opportunities to score, especially first half. I know we're unfortunate because, you know, we hit the post, but there were some other good openings. And then you look at also the Gillingham game in midweek, where I think we had like 16, 17 shots. Do you think that, is there a little part of you that's a little bit worried that we're perhaps a little bit toothless up front, and that might be an issue going forward?
Weirdly, for me, it's more, as Tom actually mentioned it earlier, it's the chance creation thing, especially against Gillingham. Gillingham was the first game for me that we really obviously missed Wes and what he brings to the side. Bonner's set up with that 4-4-2. We've seen it work before. We've also seen it not work very obviously against Lincoln a few weeks previously. And he was a bit slow to change it, I thought, in the sense that it just clearly wasn't working and we clearly weren't creating that much. It sort of shocks me when I hear how many shots we had, George, but maybe that's a bit of a misleading statistic because I don't know if we created that much aside from what Smith's header, and there was that chance in the first half from the free kick. I can't remember who got on the end of it. It might have been Jones. No. Yeah, I can't remember who got on the end of it.
Their keeper made two very good saves, to be fair to him.
It was them too, right? Yeah, so he made two good saves. And also, it's very important with Gillingham to talk about that penalty because I haven't seen it back, but I don't think I've ever seen a more Stonewall pen in
was
the
that,
ground.
Was that for a foul on Brophy?
Brophy, yeah. And to me, not even being biased again, like it just looked like a Stonewall pen.
Do you know what? Well. Tom and I were talking about Brophy off air, and I wasn't going to mention it, but let's bring it up. There's been a few questions come in. Seems like a little bit of an anti-Brophy opinion so far, which, well, we were all saying off the call, we're a little bit surprised about. I know he's not scored. I don't think he's got an assist yet. But it's very unfortunate that actually in recent games, he's had two very clear fouls not given against him that would have been penalties, which essentially are assists, right?
Yeah, we might be in the minority on this. I think a few people we were chatting to yesterday, Tom, definitely disagree with our defence of Brophy. But like for me, I think he looks like he can be a very dangerous player when he picks the ball up. He loves running at defenders. He might lack an end product at this stage, but I personally think there's a bit of a player in him. Tom, what do you think?
I'd agree with that. I feel like the criticism that he's getting or has got from sort of some parts of the sort of fan base has been a little bit harsh. I think particularly in sort of away matches, he's a very, very useful player to sort of get you up the pitch. It seems like every time he gets the ball, when he releases the ball or whatever, or gets a shot away or tries to cross it in, he does that about 30 or 40 yards further forward from where he first got it, which is a bit like Ryan Donaldson used to be like when he was playing for us, you know, that sort of ability to get you up the pitch and sort of get you out of trouble a little bit, which I think is very useful. Yeah, the end product's not been there, but you know, a lot of people sort of refer to the assist stat, which I'm not convinced is the best metric to judge how effective a player is at their job in a team. You know, an assist can be, you know, dribbling past 11 players, not 12, can't have 12, that's too many. But dribbling past
11 and the ref.
And then sort of putting it on a plate for someone, or an assist can be a 2-yard pass and the other player sort of, you know, bangs it in from 45 yards out. I'd be looking a little bit more into you know, what he actually does with the ball, you know, for the rest of his game. And I think he's been pretty good actually so far. I can understand the frustrations of some fans where he sort of seems to do all the hard work in terms of getting past the player and then the final ball is not brilliant. But hey, this is League One, and I'm sure if he could do that, then we wouldn't have had a sniff of signing him. So I'm a little bit confused by it. I think by and large he's looked pretty good. He's not someone that I'm worried about particularly, so a little bit surprised.
I think there is, and he'll probably be the first to admit this, there's improvement that could happen on his end ball, but I do think it's just a moment that's about to happen, and I think it will come in the next few games. Like the amount of times he gets beyond people, gets to the byline and pulls things back, I'm surprised we've not scored from it yet. I wonder if the formation might be a factor in that. One, through the lack of Wes the last couple of games, and two, maybe not having Adam May there being that sort of midfielder that breaks and gets to the edge of the box. Wanted to talk about Adam May because he had another brilliant 90 minutes yesterday away to Crewe. We spoke about him a little bit last week, but here we are a week on. Feel like we missed him Tuesday night against Gillingham. Definitely had an impact yesterday against Crewe. Do we find ourselves in a position now where it would be madness to not play him? And it should be him that's first name on the team sheet, and it's up to, you know, O'Neill and Digby and Weir to try and, you know, fill one of those other slots.
In the current form that he's in, it's sort of hard to say no to that, isn't it? Like, he just looks like a different player to last season. I don't know if I can think of a player off the top of my head that I've sort of changed my opinion on quite as drastically as May. I mean, and it's just impossible not to think that he's playing well at the moment. It's not just the goals, it's just his general play. Like, he just, I don't know if it's confidence. There was definitely something about when Wes came on that pitch yesterday. This is more of a general point, I suppose, but you could see the belief changed in the side more than anything, just that maybe a bit more risk taking, a little bit more. I know we were 2-0 down, so obviously, you know, we're going to be attacking and trying different things out anyway, but there's just something about the spaces that Wes takes up and like the belief that he gives the side in general going forward. And I think May is a massively profits from that personally.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I think he's actually one who's benefited a little bit from Wes not being there as well. I'm not saying that, you know, Wes was, you know, coming on didn't obviously impact the game in a positive way, but I think it has given May that opportunity to play in a bit more of an advanced role. You know, we mentioned it after his goal against Fleetwood, but he's clearly been told to basically try his luck a little bit more. He's very good at striking a ball, sort of 20 or 25 yards out. You know, his goal at Crewe came in pretty much exactly the same way. And he was actually off balance, I think, a little bit, because the ball from Wes was actually perhaps just a little bit overhit. But obviously still managed to find the bottom corner. There was a chance in the first half that he did where he managed to work himself into a good position, unfortunately just hit the post. But yeah, I think, you know, if you're looking at players that have stepped up or haven't stepped up or you think have the ability to step up, May is probably one that's come from nowhere a little bit, I guess. I think probably at best, our fans were on the fence about him, sort of probably even throughout last season, to be fair, in a very successful team. And especially this season going into League One, where I think you'd have to be honest and say that most people weren't sure that he was going to be good enough. And out of all of them, he's probably been the one who stepped up best. So it's credit to him, really. And there's no way that you can leave him out of the team at the moment. Absolutely no way at all. We might have to look at tweaking the formation a little bit, even just to fit him in, because he's been that good. And part of me wonders whether it might be a little bit difficult for Wes to come back in. But again, the way that he came in, things, probably not.
Do you know what? I think you're absolutely spot on, though, about that. You're right about Wes not being inside, especially you take that Portsmouth game and playing that system with that flatter five in midfield of May breaking forward. That's definitely something that he benefits from. And it's something that, going back to that Geelong game, that we did really miss May playing, which is frustrating, I suppose, because I'm assuming he didn't play because fitness worries, having played in the Pizza Trophy in the week. So it's frustrating, because I think he could have been someone that, going back to what I was saying about chance creation and trying to, you know, create those opportunities, something that he could have made a real difference in.
I wonder as well about the formation, like Tom mentioned it a second ago, and I'm wondering, well, how would you change the formation to sort of amend what we need to do? I think we need more support for Ironside, so maybe someone like Smith starting more games, or maybe Wes behind them. So I was thinking, you know, how would you fit, you know, May in and his form, Wes, Smith and all that, and it strikes me as the obvious answer is to return to the diamond. But then I'm a little bit worried that the diamond might expose us defensively, and that leads me on to the point that we have to talk about in this pod, because we had another instance of it yesterday at Crewe. And that's just conceding early goals. I know we didn't against Gillingham, thanks to a Brigadier Williams block on the line inside like the first couple of minutes. But it seems to be a common theme. We seem to be giving teams a head start, conceding early, you know. And if it's not an early goal, it's also a soft goal. What do we reckon the root cause of that is? And do we think there's anything that can be done about it?
Something people were speaking about in the away end yesterday. I wonder what you both make of it. I think you could almost correlate these early softer goals with Greg being out of the side. Or not quite exactly, but do either of you think there's anything in that?
I think a little bit. We talked all of last season, and you know, even in the build up to this sort of in the build up to his injury this season, about what an important influence he was, you know, mostly on the sort of player directly next to him, but on the rest of the team. And I think that's something that we do miss a little bit. Look, I don't think it's just because Greg Taylor's not there that we're conceding these goals. I think generally speaking, a lot of the goals we've conceded, particularly in recent weeks, are very poor. I think, you know, the first Fleetwood goal the other week, you know, you'll think we're talking about, what, 1 or 2 minutes into the game. It's a corner that just is defended abysmally. Yeah. The two Gillingham goals, and they had one cleared off the line, I think, as well, didn't they, even earlier on than their first goal. Mm. So that's obviously one example. But the first Gillingham goal, we're just like not picking up Verdane Oliver, who's like the one that they need to be watching more than anybody else on the pitch. The second goal, just a sloppy pass from Digby. The first Crew goal, like, there's no one around the player and the ball drops to him completely unchallenged. I think he was right on the edge of the box. And the second one, we just allow a player to drift in, albeit, you know, a good finish and a good run from the Crew player. But, you know, we're talking about different types of goals, which makes me think that it's maybe not completely like a structural issue of the team, or, you know, there's like a quick fix to it. I just think they've got to be more switched on. They should be more ready. I don't necessarily see it being like a tactical thing or a personnel issue. I just think that, like, you just have to step up a little bit more in some of these early moments, you know, particularly in away games. You know, Crew are obviously desperate for a win. You know that they're going to be on top of you, right from the beginning, and you almost have to earn your right to then sort of play by being sort of sound defensively. And unfortunately, we weren't that. And it's something that we need to sort out sooner rather than later, because, like, it's okay, you know, if you're playing against the Crew, who I feel like, you know, you're always going to get opportunities against, and you're always going to, you know, have the opportunity to get something out of the game. But, you know, George, you mentioned earlier on in the pod about the home games we've got coming up. Well, if we end up 2-0 down against Ipswich, it's going to be very, very difficult to turn that around. Same goes for Sheffield Wednesday, same goes for some of those others that you mentioned. So it's something they just need to get on top of sooner rather than later. But unfortunately, and I'm sure Mark Bonner won't necessarily look to me for any guidance on his management, I don't really know what he can do to sort it out. So
you sure?
Something they'll have to work on, and hopefully... Well, I mean, I don't know. He might listen to the pod. Maybe it's you know, they've got us to thank for everything that went on. Who knows? But I don't think so, I'll be honest.
Let's end the review of the last 7 days with some positivity, though. What character to turn it around from 2-0 down and snatch a point from the jaws of what looked like a pretty obvious defeat? Bonner said in the post-match interview, you know, don't ever doubt the character in this team. It's just terrific, isn't it? Like, I know we said it a lot last season, but to have a group of players that kind of give their all and go to the end, it's such a joy to behold, right? And it must have been terrific for you two being there in the stand.
Last season, I think it sort of goes maybe undervalued some of those really, really late goals and how many points that they won us over the course of the season. And it's clear that this squad just has that character in abundance. Like you say, it's that. And going back to the season preview that we did, obviously before the season started, I remember a few of us saying that it will be things like that. It's that sort of character. It's things you can't measure in stats that will keep this team up. And that it might just, like, it was just one point against you know, not the best side, nowhere near the best side in the league yesterday, but it's just another indication of the belief in this side.
I think we can measure it in stats. I think Bonner said in his interview that we were the top goal scorers in the last 10 minutes of League Two last season.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Or we won the most points in the last 10, something like that. But it's
the top, what, volume of character in milliliters or something.
Exactly that. Tom, we spoke last week about substitutions and how there was some criticism about Bonner not making subs at the right time and the right people. Got it pretty spot on yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he did indeed.
I guess it's easy if you've got a Wes Houlihan on the bench, right?
Well, do you know what? I think there's two ways to look at this. He did and he didn't. The subs that were made worked and we got something out of a game which we didn't look like we would before the subs came on. But again, there's this issue that I think they were just made too late. And I know that we get something out of the game and we pick something up, but obviously in sort of dying seconds, and that's great. And, you know, we can talk about, you know, the character of the team and all that sort of good stuff, which is obvious to see for everybody. And obviously, you know, whereas last season it was about turning draws into wins, it's now this season about, can we scrape points out of those sort of situations? If we do, that's going to really help us survive. And that's great. And it's something to talk about. But I think if he makes those subs even like 5 minutes early, we could probably go on and win that game. And we're not talking about like, you know, with respect, we're not talking about, you know, something that isn't like some sort of like really innovative tactical switch. We're talking about bringing our best player on. Like that should have happened earlier. And I don't want to sound too critical because obviously, you know, Mark Bonner made the change and it wasn't just Houlihan. He obviously brought Smith on, who contributed massively to the first goal as well, which I think in the end, well, I mean, it was an own goal by the goalkeeper, I think has been sort of, you know, given as such by, you know, various different sort of outlets, etc. And it obviously was an own goal, but Smith obviously puts the goalkeeper under pressure. So it's obviously not just Houlihan that he brought on, but Smith did really well as well, I think, to help change things. But like in the stand, like, it's hard to understand why he hasn't just brought him on like a half time or something. And I know it looks easy on the outside, and they're you know, just coming back from injury, so there might be other reasons why they're trying to manage his minutes. And we've talked a lot about managing Houlihan's minutes, so it's maybe more important with him than anyone else in the squad to wrap him up in cotton wool a little bit. But I just think that although the right subs are made and they did contribute to us getting something out of the game, we're again talking about the same sort of theme that these could just be done a little bit earlier. And if we did it, then we might have got even more out of the game, because even in the sort of minute between Crew restarting the game after our equaliser and the full-time whistle, I think we forced like two corners out of them. Like yeah. They were there for the taking.
And not just that, but Shiloh Tracy missed gilt-edged opportunity. What, 5 minutes? What would you say, Tom? 5 minutes before the equaliser? Like just before stoppage time went up?
I think it was like just heading into stoppage time.
But the point being that even then, like think about the chances we created in that last 10-minute period. Like you say, if you make them subs 5-10 minutes earlier, there was only one team that was going to win that game at that point. And once we'd equalised, and if we can find that equaliser 5 minutes earlier, I would have backed us to win the game.
Yeah, I mean it was the 64th minute yesterday when we brought Tracy on and obviously Houlihan on, and like, I think people were sort of literally calling for it, literally like singing for Houlihan to come on for about the 50th minute or something like that. And I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm just criticising Bonner for this, because, you know, it's clearly, I'll be honest, I don't think it's something that's going to change. I don't think he's going to completely change the way that he manages the game, which, you know, is no bad thing, because he's done incredibly well up to this point. But it is something that's going to cause frustration if there's like, you know, arguably one of the best players in the league, arguably the best player we've ever had, sat on the bench when you're 2-0 down against a team who, let's be honest, were pretty shit. That's obviously going to rub people up the wrong way. But he obviously deserves credit for making those substitutions, tweaking things tactically a little bit, and basically rescuing a situation which looked pretty hopeless.
And it is also one of those trends, isn't it? I know you spoke about it on the pod last week, and it was even more apparent on Tuesday against Chillingham, because I mean, obviously, we didn't have the option of Wes that night, but it's like you're 2-0 down. Like, it's sometimes it. Like again, I'm also very hesitant to be critical of him, sort of at any point, really, to be honest. But it was just another frustrating aspect of what was just such a massively frustrating evening on Tuesday. And like you say, Tom, I don't think it's something that's going to change. That's something we'll have to get used to, and possibly over the course of the season, it'll win us more points than it loses. But we'll have to wait and see.
Well, on that was the end of the first block of 10 games, as it were. 1-3, lost 3, drew 4. And according to Doug Shulman, if we carry that on over the season, that'll see us landing around 60 points. And I think you need late 40s, 50s to stay up. So let's leave the review of Crewe and Gillingham there.
I just want to come in with one thing. Julian, you talked about it loads.
I was going to say this in a bit.
But look, while we're talking about what the League One table looks like typically at the end of the season, I can't let the last few games, the review of the last couple of games go by without giving Julian the opportunity to bring up the stat that he was so happy that he found out. killing him. I've heard it, so I feel like we need to share it with everyone listening.
I think the world needs to hear this, because if anyone's been within about a 10-metre radius of me for the past week, they'll have heard this. If you average out for the past couple of seasons in League One, teams that finish between 14th and 20th, they average losing 20 games. And there are teams that finish above 14th. Doncaster, I think, finished in the playoffs and they'd lost 18 games. I think that was two seasons ago, I think. I think, one of the past couple of seasons. Point being that in that block of teams that stayed up between 20th and 14th, which is probably where we're aiming, that lower mid-table, teams that have probably been dragged into a relegation battle of some description at some point, they're losing 20 games on average over a season. When I thought, so in the Gillingham game, I was standing there, I was thinking, I've just thought that in my head, like how many games can you lose on average and still be in with a chance of staying up over the past few years? And my guess was 13. But last year we lost 14 and we got promoted. Cheltenham won the league and they also lost 14 last season. Obviously that's League Two, but it just goes to show that like 20 games, you can lose almost every other game and still be well in with the chance of staying up. So I just thought I was surprised. I don't know. I know I've gone on about it to Tom, but George, does it not surprise you a little bit that as a stat?
Yeah, it does.
Great. Good. That's all I want. I just want...
People listening to this are going to have like, fingers crossed they're not drinking anything hot or holding anything that might hurt people, because they will have dropped it and they will have spat whatever is in their mouth out having heard that. It's a revelation.
And they won't be able to stop saying 20 games. You could lose 20 games.
And ideally, if they're on a train anytime soon when they're listening to it, they'll tap the person next to them on the shoulder and say the same thing. Because I think they'll be equally as shocked. And then it would just start, you know, this was, rather than being a surprise statistic, it would just be like well known. I tell you what's been really frustrating. If we win, sorry, if we lose like 20 games and still go down. all season, being like, no, we're fine. You can lose 20. Or if we go on and lose like 30 or something like that, it's like, oh, that's too many.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Anyway, George. The floor is yours to wrap up.
Yeah, should we move on to Morecambe then? We go again. Our mate Swindle spoke to Tom from Shrimps Online.
Right, so I'm joined by Tom from Shrimps Online. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thank you for having me.
So we'll get straight into it. Yeah, Morecambe, not too bad so far. How do you rate your season so far?
Delighted with our start. Much like you, Jack, was fairly apprehensive about going into the big new world of League One. I know you've been up here before, but it's brand new for us. So everything was new. New manager, new squad, 17 brand new players in a new division. So was apprehensive. But I think we're very much on track, sitting 13th in the table, 14 points. But with each game, I'm seeing green shoots and improvements by players and as a team. There'll be bumps on the road, like yesterday. There was elements that perhaps wasn't happy with, but I'm delighted, Jack, and I think feel very optimistic for the season ahead.
Looking back at your games, there seems to have been a lot of goals in your games, whether you've been on the winning or losing side. We've seen, we've seen Morecambe score quite a lot, even if they've been on the wrong end of the game.
Look, it's never dull following Morecambe in League One under Stephen Robinson. And what's interesting, Jack, is that I don't think we've really significantly been outplayed or outplayed any side in this season over 11 games. It's been, and then just recently, particularly, it's been very free scoring. We've managed to find a way to hit teams, particularly on the break, and but we also seem susceptible to slight lapses of concentration, particularly at set pieces. So it's not dull, but I'd much prefer it this way than watching drab 1-0 wins and loses. So can't complain one bit, Jack.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see. We're kind of in the same boat coming up and, trying to blood ourselves in this league. And we were both saying before we started recording, it's nice to see both of us kind of, you know, managing and, in that mid-table. So looking at how your season's gone so far, who have been the key players for you?
Well, there's one player that doesn't take a genius to talk about, hey, Cole the Goal Stockton, who we're very proud to see. It's been quite magical to see his evolution. Last year, he was an integral part of Derek Adams' system. Early on in the year, he was more like the link-up guy, not the goal scorer. And he'd admit himself, he lashed at shots and they weren't going in. Then all of a sudden, I think, towards the back end of the season, he scored 6 in 8. In the regular league season, and then just got a flavour to be less of the selfless striker and more the I feel like scoring kind of goal scorer. And this season has been magical for him. He's had 32 shots, 16 of which have been on target, and 56% of them, i.e. 9 of them, have resulted in goals. He's scoring from everywhere. So he'll definitely be one that Cambridge will be well aware of. Magical player, very strong, has a bit of an acceleration off the spot to find space if someone gets too tight against him, and he's got a wicked right foot stinging shot. So that's called Stockton, won't call him anymore. I would say you'll know about Adam Phillips, who you just told me before the podcast. I didn't realise he was actually at you in terms of his first aspect of professional football. Adam has recently got back in the team after returning to Morecambe. I think he really was a bit of a steal, because I think there would be other clubs who would have liked to have got him. John Coleman Accrington said he was in for him, but he decided to come back to Morecambe alone, where he's produced his best football. And he's really starting to get into the gears. He's now up to 4 goals and 1 assist. But the crucial thing with Adam is he's just got the attacking intent. I can see quite a nice partnership forming with Cole Stockton, where Adam's not scared to take a risk with the ball. He doesn't mind losing it and taking some riskier balls, which you'll lose the ball, lose possession, but when they come off, they can lead to goals quite quickly. So Adam is most certainly one you'll be well aware of, and his delivery is fantastic. The other player I'd like to mention is Arthur Nahua. He was released by Bolton last season and was seen more of an impact sub in League Two. And there was question marks about whether he should make the step to League One, but he's just grown so quickly over such a short space of time. Stephen Robinson has not wavered in his faith of him. He's consistently played him. Sometimes he's been, early on, he was a little bit frustrating because he'd do something really good and then get into perhaps a crossing position with no defender and he'd put it in the stand, or he'd misplace a pass in a crucial moment. But the manager's faith is starting to really pay off. Yesterday it was a delight to watch, particularly in the first half. Every time he got the ball in a dangerous position, he was picking a key pass. He looked so calm. And he's also chipping in with goals. He's a joint top assister in the league now with 4. And I'm a big fan of him, just very quietly going about his business. So Arthur, the other thing to add in, he's just a terrific dribbler. He's averaging 5 dribbles per game at a success rate of just over 60%. Very good at winning free kicks, easing pressure off us and getting the ball up the field. And that's a big part of the play. And then finally, one extra player I'll mention is a lad called Jonah Younger, who, if you're watching Quest last night, you would have noticed he scored a 25-yarder into the top corner to make it 3-3. We obviously went off to lose the match, but he's someone that I'm very excited about. Sadly, he came in off the bench against Ipswich in the first game of the season and looked very impressive, was running with the ball, taking players on, winning free kicks. I think he had 3 bookings against Ipswich in the space of very little time, then ran the show against Blackburn away, and then has just recently come back from injury and is starting to show that form that looks really exciting. He's strong, quick, got very good feet, has all the attributes that he could do very well at this level.
Yeah, certainly be interesting to see watching them on Quest, like you say. It's always good to see Morecambe and seeing those goals coming from quite a lot of different players, which is a good attribute to have as a club, and slightly worrying when you're coming up against it next game. We do like conceding the goal or two. So looking forward towards the game then, how do you see it panning out?
Honestly, if I put predictions to you, Jack, it just nothing seems to go how I expect it to, but looking at Cambridge, you look a little bit soft at the back, but decent going forward, much like us at the moment. So I guess you'd have to say it's going to be an open game, really, that both teams like to get to go at the other side. You're not going to let it up, even if we take a lead and vice versa. So just expect goals, really. The classic cliche, everyone says, expect a 0-0, but I'd be shocked if this is a 0-0. Shocked. I don't like doing predictions, but if you force me to do one, I think we'll just edge it. And I would say I'm going to go for called to get back amongst the scoring, and an Adam Phillips penalty, and a 2-1 with, I think with Ironside grabbing a goal for you. But could very well be wrong. This could go any three ways.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those tight games, and we seem to be specialising in two alls at the moment. So I'm not much of a prediction man, but I might go for that myself. And then you reckon, you know, for the rest of the season, just before we go, do you reckon the rest of the season, the kind of aim is to be there or thereabouts where you are now? You know, survival for us was the aim, and I'm guessing at the start of the season for you too.
I mean, if you give me survival now at any form on goal difference, I'd snap your hand off right now. That's ultimately the aim. That's where we are. We're making so much progress as a club. We've sold, I think, tripled the amount of season tickets this season due to a very clever incentive by the board of directors. So we just need League One football next year. So however that comes, that'll be great. And Stephen Robinson, with time, I think, given the time to bed in more players, will get better. So League One football, survival has to be the core. But based on the evidence, as I said, I don't think we've been outclassed, and I don't think we've particularly outclassed anyone this year. I think there's been Rotherham that they beat us 1-0 very convincingly at home, which I don't think we really laid a glove on them. And then on the other side, I think Shrewsbury at home, we beat them 2-0, where they didn't lay a glove on us. But apart from that, I think it's been every game has been very, could have gone either way. Small margins, small decisions. So the other thing I should add is that we've had 17 new players, new managers. So I'd expect us to get better. I mentioned the case of Arthur Nahura, where he's improved. Partnerships are going to develop. So I'd expect us to get better. But if something doesn't massively change, like injuries or anything else, then I'd expect us to continue to win, lose and draw games and be somewhere around mid-table, mid to lower table. That would be my prediction for the rest of the season. And I'd be obviously very delighted with that. So, yeah, that's how I see it playing out. And obviously, hopefully, Cambridge can continue their run as well. It's nice to see those guys that are perhaps less favoured in the division holding their own.
Right. Thank you very much to Tom from Shrimps Online for giving us the lowdown on Morecambe. I guess Morecambe are a little bit similar to us. Like they've had a good start, or an okay start, or probably a better start than they would have imagined. Some of the teams they've played, obviously, won't know much about them, whereas obviously we came up with them. So do you think that plays into our hands, that we know a little bit about them, or the fact that they've got a new manager kind of gets rid of that idea?
Yeah, I think it makes it, well, firstly, an interesting sort of prospect of going there. Although they seem to have just carried on in exactly the same way, sort of, you know, when they finished last season, obviously had a brilliant season, ended up getting promoted along with us, albeit in the playoffs, but, you know, match approach is not for everyone, but it almost seems to be like a completely different setup there. Like they lost their best player, Mendes Gomez, who went off to Luton. The manager obviously left as well, Derek Adams. And so they brought in a new manager and loads of new players, but they seem to just carried on very well. So, you know, credit to them for that. And, you know, Morecambe competing in League One is fairly unthinkable, but they're doing it. So fair play to them. Like we should go there with confidence. They're conceding a hell of a lot of goals, even in the games that they're winning. They're scoring a lot of goals, but they're also conceding a lot. We spoke about the goals that we're conceding, so if we can cut that out, then we go there with a very good chance of winning the game. And that's kind of exactly what we need to be aiming for, I think.
It's another similarity, isn't it? Tom was saying in the chat just then that sort of moments of lack of concentration is where they're conceding goals, especially set pieces, which I know we've not been that bad from set pieces, but it does feel like the goals we've conceded so far are from sort of, yeah, lack of concentration or maybe making the wrong decision. So it does seem like some parallels, doesn't there, Julian?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they've conceded as many goals as Doncaster, who are currently bottom of the league. So that's sort of an indication of where they're at. But also something that I think is worth mentioning if we're talking about Morecambe is Cole the goal. I mean, he's having a poor Mullin season at the moment. Of last season for us, it's incredible. He's on 9 already. And I mean, you can get some context from that. Like that's about 6 of his career goals. And he's been playing since 2011. Just this season in League One. Last season, he scored 13, I think, in League Two. So he's well on track to beat that. It's, 10 games into the season? It's remarkable. So I think he'll be one to watch one to watch for us. But for me, it is. I know Tom said there aren't any must not lose games, but for me, I think it is a must not lose.
Anyone going to be bold and make a prediction?
5-0 Cambridge, Mullin hat trick.
I'm going to go 1-1. Oh, Tom's actually sticking with his 5-0.
It's also worth pointing out that at the time of recording, the game is going ahead, and this is going to look a little bit bizarre if it gets cancelled midweek. But so far, it will be going ahead, and we'll be back next week to review it all. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Julian.
Thank you very much. Can I just do a little plug for a little UTAS interview that we've got coming out this week? If you listen to this, I had a chat with Ian Maffer about B teams, the Papa John's trophy, and sort of the future, I suppose, of the English Football League structure, which is something that him as CEO of Fair Game, or he's definitely a co-founder of Fair Game, knows a lot about. So that will be wherever you get your pods on Thursday morning.
Tom, will you be listening?
Yeah, I'll be listening. I'll be sat there seething with anger at his blatant disregard for the integrity of the English football pyramid, which, as we know, is the best football pyramid in the world and cannot be tampered with. No, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good listen.
It's a good chat.
Thank you very much, gents. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again soon.